You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Let's start in Genesis. How about that? Genesis 2. We started a series a few weeks ago on, biblical finance. Now stay with me. There's a lot of error taught on that. It can be taught, I think extremists in every camp pretty well can be wrong. When purpose is lost, abuse is inevitable, and sometimes we lose our purpose in teaching on finances and teaching about prosperity. God does want to bless you, but he doesn't want you to be greedy. He doesn't want you to lust after money. And we went over those scriptures. You know, 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through many sorrows." It didn't say money was, it says the love of it was. I'm convinced that you can have all the money in the world as long as it doesn't have you. Now, if you're in it just to get more money, just to get more things, well, no. I mean, God wants to bless you. Sure, he does. He wants you to have a nice house, nice car, wants your house paid for, cars paid for. But God wants to bless you to make a blessing out of you. And that's the true purpose of prosperity, is to help us help others. Amen? Now, to say, bless my four no more, well, that's really self-centered. You don't want to just bless your four no more. You want God to use you to help suffering, sighing, dying humanity. Every church should have that vision. Every church should want to prosper because they should have the heart of the community and the heart of the world in their vision. Our vision is to reach this community. Our vision is to reach the world. And we want to do that any way we can, every way we can. Are you with me? The food ministry, Hallelujah Night, mission supports that we do around the world, and local missions, prison ministries, and we love helping people. That's what we're about. We're Christians. We're believers. We're church. Amen? And to do that, well, it takes finances to do that. So prosperity has a purpose. God turns gold into souls, and he blesses blessers, and he gives to givers. Amen? He just wants to make sure you don't live your life loving money or serving money, because you cannot serve God and mammon, or unrighteous mammon, or riches, what Jesus said. But as long as you serve God, you can have money. Are you with me? Don't trust in money, but trust in God. That's your water there? Okay, it's now my water. Okay. Temporarily. And then we went through last week some scriptures concerning God's will is to prosper you. I mean, it's very plain. He actually is pleased when you prosper, just like a father is concerning his child. Not when you're greedy, not when you're lusting after things, but when you really truly prosper. Who wouldn't be proud of their children when they're doing well? Don't you brag on your children when they do well? You brag on them all through school. You brag on them when they start walking. You brag on them when they, you know, play sports. Your boys play sports and your girls do whatever they do. Play sports. I'm really one-sided here on a lot of this. But anyway, you're proud of their accomplishments, and they grow up and they have good families, good jobs. You're proud of that and do well. Well, God is the same way. He's a father. He loves you, wants you to do well. Now, he's not proud of you when you don't do well. He still loves you. Amen? Wants to work with you and get you back on the narrow, straight and narrow. And so concerning finances, God's financial plan, not the world's, it's not going to be a pep talk, you know, it's not a pep teaching. It's not just a positive attitude teaching, although you need a positive attitude. It's not just positive confession, although you need a positive confession. You need to get your confession in line with his word and get your attitude in line with his promises. Amen? And that is going to lift your attitude. It's going to lift your confession. You shouldn't get ready to go under. You shouldn't let Obamacare scare you. I had to throw that one out there. You may want to throw it out too, but I wish I could throw it out, but right now it's the law. But we're believing it's going to get thrown out. But anyway, going past all that, you shouldn't let the economy scare you. You shouldn't let what's going on around the world scare you. Our God supplies our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want or lack. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack or suffer or want for any good thing. And God daily loads us with his benefits. He delights in our prosperity. Those are all scriptures I'm quoting here. And he does want to bless us. He is for us. But he wants us, our character, to develop along with our prosperity on the outside. In fact, he says, "I pray above all things that you prosper as your soul prospers." That you prosper in being healthy and as your soul prospers. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you." Deuteronomy 28 says, if you'll hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight and keep these commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come on you, and they will overtake you. And blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. And blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, the flocks of your sheep, the fruit of your kind. And blessed shall you be coming in, and blessed shall you be going out. He says he'll cause the rain to come down your land in its season, and bless all the work of your hand. You'll lend to many nations and shall not borrow. That's God's word. I mean, so it does pay to serve God, but we have to put him first. And God works through channels. He works through practical ways. You know, God doesn't prosper us by causing money to fall out of the air. He prospers us through men, through women, through jobs, through inheritances, through insurance payments, and through IRS checks, telephones. And I'm not gonna point out Jerry that it was her phone went out, because I don't want to embarrass her or anything that her phone went off. But that is a good note there. If you are here and you have your phone, put it on silent, okay? Anyway, he uses men to prosper us. In fact, even when we talk about giving, Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. So God's not flaky. You know, he's not just, sometimes we're we're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good in that respect. We think God's just going to do something without us being involved. And yet the Bible's filled with principles. So when it talks about making our marriage better, it gives us principles to make the marriage better. It doesn't just, there's not a wand that he just hits us with. He's not flying around and boom, you know, bless you and bless you. And no, he blesses us through principles. Who was the richest man in the Bible? Solomon. Who was the wisest man in the Bible? Of course, except Jesus, I understand. Solomon. God blessed him through wisdom. He blessed him through giving him principles to work through. And the Bible's filled with principles on working. Wow, which is what I want to talk about today. Everybody say work. There's that four-letter word, a work. Actually, God's number one way to prosper you is work. Yeah, I get that response every time. Anyway, we have the idea. Now, I understand if you're retired and you're not able, I'm not talking about that. You've worked and you've got retired. If you're on Social Security, you know what? That's your money. That's money you put in there. And so don't ever feel bad about that. I hear people say, well, you're just living off the government. Social Security, no, I'm living off the money I gave the government. They lived off my money for years. So when I get to where I'm taking Social Security, I'm finally getting my money back I gave them that they've held all those years. So don't feel guilty about that. Are you out there? Got that settled? Okay. All right. And if you've worked and you're retired, well, come on, you're living off what you've worked for, your retirement and so on. So if you're not able to work, you're disabled, I'm not talking about that, not addressing that. Did you know there are people that legitimately on welfare? I don't believe that our welfare system is good. I think it's all messed up. But there are some that are legitimately on welfare. Are you with me? So we can't say, you know, let's just get rid of the whole thing, because there are some issues there. I think a lot of people abuse the system. But, you know, if you're legitimately on welfare, I'm not talking about that. We help people in the food bank, you know, that are on fixed incomes, that just can't pay their bills, that come in. A lot of elderly people, some disabled, and some that don't have money. Are there people probably come through there that may not need the help? Well, sure, sometimes you have to help the greedy just to reach the needy. And you can't eliminate everybody. Are you with me? But we do our best. Amen? I think sometimes we get so hard that we won't help anybody because everybody's abusing the system. Well, not everybody's abused. Some people are legitimate. They need help. You say, well, if I do that, I'll get burnt. Well, I'd rather get burnt and help some people than never get burnt and never help anybody. That went over real big. If you close yourself off to everybody, you know, if you reach out and you love people and you help people, are you liable to get abused? Probably. It probably happened, but you're going to wind up helping a lot of people that really need it too. Amen? If you close yourself off from helping anybody because of the abuse, I think you ought to stop the abuse when you know it and you find out about it. And even in our food bank, you know, we have the right to refuse anybody. If we find out they're not, we've actually told people to leave. Okay, moving right along now. Genesis 2nd chapter, we need to get in our heads an idea that working is spiritual. It is what God wants most of us to do. Most of us aren't going to be pastoring a church, although I don't want you to think that pastoring is not working. I want everybody to stop and get some water in that water fountain that I put in. that I drug out of the warehouse and replaced and put in there all by myself, nobody knows the trouble I see. You might go out there and look at the shelves I put on the on top of the offices in the food bank this week that I did, your pastor did, that I showed up and I did. Just want y'all to know I did that. But anyway, you might fly by out here this week and watch me work this week. Come help me work this week, putting a hallelujah night together. Not that I'm upset about all that, and not that I, you know, are you with me? I'm picking. I've been doing this for 32 years. Are you kidding? I love doing what I do. Are you out there? Working is a blessing. You know, the idea that a church is built by just a pulpit and a Bible is just crazy. And if you're called to the ministry, you need to get that straight. If you're going to go into ministry, you need to get ready to work. Because working is what makes it happen, not just a pulpit and a Bible. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes in any church, in any ministry, in any dream or any vision, in any family, whether you're in what we call full-time ministry or not. And I'll tell you what God will bless in your life. He will bless your commitment. He'll bless what you put your hands to. He'll bless work. He'll bless you getting up, dressing up, and showing up. That's what he'll bless. Amen? When God first made man, he had a job. In fact, ultimately, God made man to rule the earth. That's what he told them. He said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl there. Dick, you ought to grab a hold of that every time you go fishing. Let them take your dominion stick, your rod and reel, you know, and take dominion over the fish of the Lake Tawakta. But he put us down here as overseers. And we had a job to do. Man was made to work. He was made to do a job under God. Are you with me? And he was to rule underneath him. And man abdicated his throne, as it were. He sinned and obeyed the devil instead of God and lost his authority. But he still had to work to make it. But even before he sinned, he had a job. We have this idea that, you know, that work is a curse. That old Adam, he messed everything up, you know. But no, work wasn't a curse. Actually, what was cursed was the productivity of the ground because of his sin. But work, that's something he did before. Genesis 2, y'all found it? I gave you plenty of time to get there. Notice what it says in Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, to work it, to till it, to determine what was going to happen there, to prune it, to dress it, to cultivate it, to work it. Every farmer knows what I'm talking about. You know, when you farm something or you plant something, you take over ground. You take over something. You determine an outcome. You prophesy a future. You put your hands to the plow, and you make this ground turn out like you say it's going to turn out. Instead of letting it do what it does, instead of like Doris Day said in that old movie, say rah, whatever will be, you say, no, I am going to have watermelons here, or I'm going to have corn here, or I'm going to have squash here, and I'm going to plow this ground, I'm going to work this ground, and I'm going to rip out everything that doesn't look like a squash or watermelon, whatever it is you're growing, and I'm going to plant watermelons, and I'm going to plant corn, I'm going to plant this. And you tell everybody what you got planted there before it ever comes up. You tell them what the future's going to be. You work it, you determine it, you prophesy it, you take it over, as it were. And that's the way God works. You put your hand to the plow. You do something to make this happen. Dreams don't come by just talking. They don't come by just thinking, just by wishing and hoping. Not wishing upon a star. This is not Jiminy Cricket. This is not a Disney movie. Dreams come by working. And if you will work, God will bless your hands. He'll bless what you do. Amen? He'll bless what you put your feet to. And see, God wants us to prosper, and that's why we should work. Working is how we prosper. Jobs are how we prosper. And, you know, I've already addressed retirement. I've already addressed disability. Stay with me. So you understand what I'm saying. We have to put our feet to our prayers. If we believe we're going to get to the shore, we need to start rowing. Amen. Amen? Now, if God doesn't want us to prosper, we need to quit our jobs. Because we're trying to achieve something that we don't believe God wants us to achieve. If God doesn't want us to be blessed, if God doesn't want us to have our bills paid, if God doesn't want us to prosper, then we shouldn't be fighting God, working against God, by actually getting a job and working. If God wants us sick, we don't need to go to the hospital. We ought to quit going to the hospital, quit taking that medicine. If God doesn't want to heal us, and God's not for us being healed, and God's not a healer, then we shouldn't be working ourselves trying to get something that we would never pray for and never believe God for. We shouldn't be contradicting and fighting God on this deal. Let's just get sick and die. Hello. God does want us healed. He is a healer. Thank God for hospitals. Thank God for medicine. Thank God for doctors. God wants us to prosper. Thank God for jobs. Thank God for hard work. Amen? That He made man to work. Hallelujah. What happened was this. Genesis 3, turn there. Genesis 3, verse 17. I love this verse. Every man ought to shout when I read this. It says, and Adam, he said to Adam, God did this after he sinned. He says, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife. Well, there it is. Now, I'm sorry. Okay, let's put it in context. Okay, the devil tempted Eve. Adam was right there. He could have stopped it. He didn't stop it. He's the one that had authority over everything. And he could have run that devil right out of that garden. He could have run that snake right out of the garden. And you know what? He didn't take his authority. He didn't use his authority. And because he didn't use it, well, he lost it. If you don't use your authority, you will lose your authority. So it says here, and he said to Adam, because you've hearkened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. He didn't curse him by putting him to work. He worked before he sinned. Are you out there? But all of a sudden now his work was not going to produce because of sin. It was not going to produce what it should. Not a whole lot different today, really. If you sin, you don't have God's hand or his blessing on you. Do you know that? I mean, you got to put this thing together. The Bible says if the Lord doesn't build a house, they that labor, labor in vain. So just working without God's blessing, no guarantee that's going to pan out for you. Hello. In fact, a lot of y'all could probably testify not serving God, not trusting God, not praying, not putting your faith in God. You can work, 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 and just don't get any production. See, as you serve God, he blesses your work. In fact, this curse on the ground was not permanent. In fact, he lifted this curse in the days of Noah. After Noah landed, after the flood, you know, they built the ark. Nothing like the movie. I hope you didn't go see that movie, Noah. The only thing that the movie Noah that just came out had in common with the Bible was there was a boat and there was a guy named Noah. Other than that, there was nothing in common. Hello. It was just a movie production. It had nothing to do with the Bible account. But when Noah landed with his three sons and their wives and Noah's wife on Mount Ararat, God lifted the curse that he put on the ground. So you don't go through life and say, well, my ground is cursed because it's been cursed ever since Adam. No, actually, he lifted the curse. Let's read on here. And Adam said, because thou hast listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree, which I command you, saying, don't eat of that tree. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of your face shall you. That'd be a curse not to eat meat. See, that's what he's saying. I just want to throw that out there. In the sweat of your face you'll eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. Dust you are, and dust you shall return. Well, turn to Genesis 8 if you have your Bibles. Turn to Genesis 8 chapter. This is after the flood of Noah. This is years later, when Noah built his ark and escaped the flood that came upon the earth. Genesis 8, 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor that he had made a sacrifice. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. Y'all see that? So don't live under the delusion that work's just a curse. No, work never was a curse. What was cursed was the ground, and that has also been lifted since the days of Noah. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. This ought to get you excited. So now you know your work can produce something. If you have a job, or you're working on a job, or you're on retirement, or whatever the case may be, maybe you've got investments, I don't know, but you can believe God and trust God that he's going to bless that. It's actually his will to do so. Never was his will that you go under. His will always was that you go over. But see, we're just made to serve God. If we don't serve God, we don't work right. That's good stuff. That's really better amen than you. Better preaching, y'all are amen. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done the flood. So we know that God's never going to flood the earth again like that. Because he said he'd never do it again. While the earth remaineth in seed time and harvest and cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And so has it been since Noah. Are you with me? Now, I know, I realize the seasons do get a little mixed up in Texas, but we still do have seasons. Amen. And if you don't like the temperature around here, just wait a while. Give it a day or two, it'll change. But God blesses work. That four-letter word, work. If we could just get a hold of it, that hard work ethic. Anything you put your hand to and you put your effort behind that's godly and moral and scriptural, especially when it comes to finances, you need to trust God and believe God to bless that. Because that's what he blesses. He doesn't bless ideals. He doesn't bless just dreams. He blesses hard work. In fact, dreams come from hard work. This church is a result of a lot of hard work. A lot of people got together in this church, worked on this church, worked on this building that we're in right here years ago. Worked and worked and worked. Are you with me? Hallelujah Nights, a lot of work. A lot of people work that thing. The food ministry is a lot of work. Everybody talks about the end result of it. You know, everybody likes to eat the bread, but they don't want to help the little red hen get that bread ready. Are you with me? I mean, we've got people. And if you work in a food bank, stand up if you work in a food bank. Just to give you an example. And this is not everybody. Okay, give them a big hand. Amen. Charity's upstairs. Jason's not here. I know some ladies from Chapel Lake that come. Glenn Strutton comes over and helps. Who else? I'm missing somebody. Sue Elkins also in there, and then some others. I think Jackie. Yeah. So it takes a lot of people to make it happen. Now, we talk about the numbers, and we talk about, you know, the result of that, and we have bragging rights, and rightly so. God's blessed us, and thank God for what we're doing and reaching needy people in our community. They get prayed for. They get food. They get ministered to, not just physically but spiritually. But it takes a lot of people to make that happen. Amen. And church is the same way. And anything in your life that you want to come to pass, put your hand to the plow. Amen? Because God blesses this. Deuteronomy 28. Turn there, if you will. I quoted it, but I want to bring out a verse or two here. Nothing complicated about this. This really is practical teaching, but it's biblical teaching. You know, I think if we're teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, boy, we start, our eyes get big, and we go, wow, that's awesome. You know, teach on the tongues, interpretation of tongues, and teach on word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and gifts of healings, gift of faith, working of miracles, and so on. Start going through discerning of spirits. And, boy, I mean, you get into all that, and we start teaching on healing, have people up here, and we lay hands on them, and we start believing with you for a miracle in your life. Teach on the power of prayer. Boy, we're standing up in the chairs going, oh, yeah, pulling out the handkerchiefs and waving them. You know, that's awesome. This is spiritual. But work is spiritual because work is biblical. And we don't often give it its due. We don't give work its proper respect and due. We think this is just practical and those other things are spiritual, but actually it's all spiritual. If you want to live by faith, then you live by the word. When you forgive someone, that's living by faith. When you love someone, that's living by faith. When you work, that's living by faith. Because that's what God said to do. Whatever God said to do is spiritual. When you budget, that's spiritual. Oh, I know you didn't want to hear that. When you save, that's spiritual. When you leave an inheritance to your children's children, that's a scripture I just quoted. That's being spiritual. Oh, wow, goodness, that's spiritual? Yeah, that's spiritual. So we should pray, we should believe God, we should lay hands on the sick, and we should budget. Deuteronomy 28, turn there if you will. Notice what it says here in the, I'll just skip to the third verse. I quoted the first and second verse earlier in part of these other verses. Deuteronomy 28, third verse. Blessed shall be the fruit of, you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground. Y'all see that? So the curse is not on the ground now. If we're serving God and we're believing God and trusting God. the curse that was on the ground when Adam's sin was lifted in Noah's day, we read that, the ground shall no longer be cursed. So our work's not cursed. It's not a curse to work. In fact, our work should be blessed. We should believe God when we go to work, God's blessing it. If we have a job, we have an endeavor, we have investments, whatever it is, we ought to lay our hands on that in the name of Jesus and say, God, thank you for blessing this. I'm putting my hand to this, and you're going to bless this because that's what you said you'd do. And I'm going to do this in faith. I'm going to do this with passion. I'm going to do it diligently, and I'm going to trust you to make it prosper because that's exactly what he says. Amen? If you own a business, you ought to believe God to bless it. If you work on a job, you ought to believe God to promote you and give you raises and prosper the business that you work on. Amen? If you have investments, you ought to believe God to bless those investments and give you wisdom on which ones to invest in. Amen? Oh, I'm just getting excited. I just feel Holy Ghost bumps all over me talking about work. I believe God blesses everything I do. I believe if I show up out here and work on a water cooler, I'm doing it for Jesus. Amen. Whatever I'm doing for Jesus. I was talking to a guy that was digging a ditch out here. We were putting a water line in for this building, the gym, and we had to come from the front and go down the side. And he'd been in and out of ministry somewhat, and he was telling me as he was on a forklift, he was on a backhoe, and he was digging. And he said, man, I feel like I'm just spinning my wheels. And I said, really? And he says, yeah, I want to do something for Jesus. I feel like, and here I am on this backhoe digging this hole and digging this ditch and putting this pipe in, you know. And he says, I feel like I ought to be doing something for the Lord. And I said, well, you are. You're doing something for the Lord. He said, what do you mean? I said, man, you're digging a ditch and putting a pipe in. It's going out that building. People are going to get saved out there in that building. People are going to get healed in that building. People are going to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Marriages are going to get back together. And you know what? We're going to have bathrooms where they can come, and we can open this up to the public, and people can come in and get in the presence of God right there in that building because, hallelujah, somebody got on a backhoe and put a pipe in out here so we can get water out there in that building. Are you listening? Yeah. What we need to understand is that whatever we do, if it has something to do with the Lord, if it's work, then everybody that gets saved and everybody gets healed and everybody gets filled with the Holy Ghost and everybody gets a miracle from God, we are a part of that. Whether we came out here and cleaned the building that week because we worked. Work is blessed, amen? So he says here, fourth verse, blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground. So don't think work is cursed. Work is blessed and the production is blessed. Of course, there again, that assumes you're serving him and you're hearkening to his voice and you're keeping his commandments, amen? Because when the curse came, it came because of sin. Well, if we're living right, then the blessing comes. y'all get it in a little bit. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of the cattle, and the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep, and blessed shall be your basket and your store, and blessed shall it be when you come in, and blessed shall it be when you go out. 12th verse, jump to 12th verse. And the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto your land in his season, to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations and shall not borrow. But what does he bless? The work of your hand. Oh, man. That's amazing. So if I put my hand to it, God will bless it. If I put my feet to it, God will bless it. In fact, that's just what God does. He's just looking for me to do something so he can bless it. And if I get out there and do something, ooh, the blessing of God will come. Amen? For sake of time, let's jump to some other verses here. God blesses what? Work. Amen? That's God's number one way of blessing you. So just believe God to find something to put your hand to and let God bless you. You got dreams, you got visions, you got goals. Well, start working toward that goal. Start working toward that dream. You're believing to be a millionaire, well, you better get to work.
Amen.
Turn to, oh, goodness. There's so many verses. Turn to 1 Timothy. Boy, this is a good one. While you're turning there, all through Proverbs you see things like, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Isn't that sweet the way that says, go to the ant, thou sluggard? Gathers his, he gathers his food in the summer. They may have something in the winter, It's all in the Bible. I mean, the Proverbs is just filled of practical wisdom and diligence. Proverbs 12:11 says, "He that tills his land shall be satisfied with bread. He that follows vain persons is void of understanding." That's the little red hen story all over again. You know, one of my favorites Proverbs is Proverbs 14:23. It says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips just tends to poverty. In other words, talk's cheap, but in all labor there is profit. Amen. Now, we need to talk, we need to confess, we need to say, but we also need to put our feet to what we're saying, amen? We need to live our lives like we're talking. Our lip and our life need to line up. Sometimes we're living our life so loud they can't hear what we're saying. Amen? Okay. Y'all found first, what did I tell you to turn to? 1 Timothy, 5:8. Notice what it says, "If any provide not for his own, and especially those for his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Who? Wow. So let's talk about spirituality here, okay? Let's talk about faith in God, being a Christian, living the life. We should take care of our own. We should take care of our children and our parents. Are you with me? Parents take care of children. Children wind up taking care of parents. That's the way it has been for centuries. It's not that so much that way now. And I understand there are times where, you know, you're not able or physically able even to take care of parents. You have to put them in a nursing home, and that's a terrible decision. I hate that, but it has to be made sometimes. If you are able, then hopefully that never has to happen. But then there are some times that does have to happen. But you still should take care of them in the sense of you're supporting them. Go see them. Don't forget them. Don't leave them in that home. Are you with me? And never go see them and never go by them. You know, that's the biggest cry of anybody in a nursing home. Older people is, when's my son going to come see me? When's my daughter going to come see me? They just put them there and forget them. They just put them there and forget them. Now, sometimes you have to do that because you can't physically take care of them. I understand that. But you need to go see them. Y'all receive that? Okay. I love you. My mama's at the point where she's staying with my sister. My sister's taken care of. I call my mama every day. I'm not able to go see her every day, but I call her every day. Our conversation doesn't last 2-3 minutes. "Hey, Mama, how you doing?" No, it's, "Hey, Mama, how you doing?" And I'm hollering to get so you can hear me. And I had to repeat myself often. But I ask her what she did that day. I ask her how she feels that day. If anybody call her that day, just pretty much same thing every day. And I said, "Well, Mama, I'm just checking on you. You know I love you. I love you too, son." You know, she's getting old. And I said, "I will call you tomorrow." "Okay." Not a very long call. Yeah, looking forward to it. And boy, God forbid if I forget to call her that day too. My phone is ringing. My sister will call and she'll say, she's older than I am. She said, "You didn't call Mama yesterday." I said, "I was out of town. I was in Hawaii. I tried to get to her." Even in Hawaii, I called her every day when I could. I missed one or two of them. I was on the wrong side of the island. I couldn't get reception. But anyway, she said, "Well, you didn't call your mama." And you know, her favorite child didn't call his mama. And I don't have to talk to her and she doesn't get upset. But when you don't call, all of a sudden, she wants to know what's going on. I just thought I would call you and tell you, you know. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. Y'all take care of your own, amen? Y'all take care of your parents if you can. I understand this world we live in, we get scattered, and it's not always possible for you to physically be there. If you do put them in the home, check on them. Hey, call your parents. I mean, come on. I mean, my mama's not in great health and can't get around, you know. But I can call her, talk to her on the phone. I can holler at her, you know. Every once in a while, she can hear me. Hey, let's close this out, but it may take a few minutes. Don't get excited. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. We're talking about work. Work is a blessing. Work is a spiritual thing. Work is a good thing, not a bad thing. In fact, God blesses work. You know, God forbid you get in a church where nobody works. I mean, come on. God forbid you have a pastor that doesn't work. And that doesn't mean he works on a job. If he has to, that's fine. Did you know I worked on a job for a while? We started the church here, 1982. Finances were flowing, going, growing. It was just doing great. Hit a tough period. I have a wife. I have kids. I have responsibility. I went and got a job. I was off on Wednesdays. I was off on Sundays so I can continue to pastor the church. But I did that for several years because my first responsibility is God. My second responsibility is my family. And my third responsibility is church. Are you with? Even as a pastor, I have to get that straight. I can't just minister to you and starve my children. That's a terrible example, for one thing. And I have a responsibility to take care of my family, take care of my children. And they haven't thanked me to this day, but they're alive because I got a job. Fed them. And I see pastors that just wouldn't go to work for nothing. I mean, there's no way they wouldn't go to work. I mean, the churches go completely under, and I'm thinking, you need to go get a job, man. Come on. I know you're called, but you got a responsibility. Hello? And that's just right. Whatever it is you do, I mean, come on, you got to take care of your family. That's what the Scripture says. Okay. 2 Thessalonians, notice what it says, 3rd chapter, 6th verse. I love this. Paul just lays it out there. He says in the 6th verse, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that does not walk or walks disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." This is interesting, because what is disorderly? 7th verse, "You yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, to make ourselves an example to you, to follow us." Hallelujah. 10th verse. "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." So that's disorderly, not working. Amen. When you can, when you're able. I understand. And if you're trying to find a job, well, let's believe God you get one. Get out. What you need to do if you don't have a job and you're trying to find a job, make a job out of finding a job. Well, that's a new concept, isn't it? I mean, get out there, knock on doors, make some phone calls, get on the internet, wherever you got to do, you know, and just spend hours doing it till you get one. And believe God you're going to get one. And believe God that he'll give you favor. And believe God you're going to get a good job and a better job you had. Yes. Don't put your faith in your job. Put your faith in God. Yes. And go to work. Does that make sense? So that way, if you lose your job, you're facing God, not the job, and you can believe God and get another one. Oh, man, this is spiritual stuff. I know you got Holy Ghost bumps all over you from listening to this. But it says here very plainly, man doesn't work, doesn't eat. Amen? 11th verse. "We hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." Oh. Oh, Lord. Not this church. No. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. No. Now then. Okay. 12th verse. "Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread instead of everybody else's." Amen. Sometimes we think we're living by faith. No, we're not. We're living off everybody else's money. That's what we're doing. I think, you know, sometimes on welfare, people that are able, not people that really need welfare. Please listen to me. I believe in helping those that really need it. But some people are just, you know, they're just living off your money and my money, and they're able to go get a job. Now, I don't believe God is for that. God's not for just giving out, you know, blessings without obedience. Now, if there are people that are needy, that's definitely understandable, and I understand that. We want to help needy people. We just got a system where there's just no screening of the needy. And we've gotten rid of, and I heard this years ago, and I thought it was so good. You know, the rich have always taken care of the poor. You know, it's always been that way. Those that have always taken care of those that didn't have. Before there was ever a tax or before there was ever a New Deal welfare. It's always been that way. Actually, the church was a lot more involved in helping the poor before the government got involved. It used to always be that way. But it was willful. In other words, people that had willfully sought out and helped people, and they called it charity. Same word for love. Isn't that good? Because they compassionately wanted to help people. And people that were needy and they couldn't get by and they were poor and they had definite needs in their life, when they received that, they were grateful. Are you with me? They were honored, they were humbled, and they were grateful about it. But when the government comes along and they say, "You have to do it, and we'll take it out of your check, and you have no choice." Are you with me? And then the needy people says, "It's my right, you give it to me." Then in one fell swoop, we got rid of charity because nobody's loving it. We're mad about it. And we got rid of gratefulness because nobody's thankful. It's their right. And yet, it hasn't changed anything. It's still those that have taking care of those that don't have. Now everybody's mad at everybody. Sad, isn't it? Because really, we should help people. I'm not against that. I'm for that. We do that. We got a food bank. Church should help people. But it ought to be because we want to and because they need it. Amen? But anyway, the point I'm making here is work. Work is God's will for your life. And if you're able to and you can, you should. And you ought to believe God to bless it. Hallelujah. You ought to thank God for his hand and his blessing, his anointing and his favor and his presence on your job that you work on or business that you own or whatever. And you shouldn't look back and you shouldn't feel guilty. You ought to believe God to prosper you so you can help other people. Hallelujah. Hold your head high. Don't feel guilty about being blessed. Man, you're able to help somebody now.